Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 16th of September, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today in stock markets. It was a quiet day, mostly with an easier tone in Asia, including the China markets. Modest declines for the most part. In Europe, but all under 1%. And in the Americas, well, Canada was slightly higher, about 0.25%. Wall Street was quietly steady overall. It had been slightly lower for most of the day, but then picked up a little bit towards the close. Bond futures were weak across the boards. In other words, yields rose. I think the only exception to that were the JGBs, which had tiny gains following a rally yesterday. In currencies, the yen has weakened a little bit further here against the dollar, and the dollar overall, though, is mostly a little bit easier. The euro is firmer, back up to 130.83 ticks. And precious metals, a very steady performance. Platinum and palladium and silver are all up. I beg your pardon. Platinum, gold, and silver are all up. Gold at currently trading at $1,274.50. Palladium had a small decline. Industrial metals were firmer here today as well, including copper back up to $3.49, tin hitting another new high for the year. Excuse me, that's really been quite strong. And following yesterday's sell-off, sugar bounced back a little bit. The grain and bean complex was mostly easier, although midday losses were paired, and we had corn actually ending a fraction higher. Crude oil was weaker, down to $74.38. Now, what's going on overall? Well, in terms of global stock markets, we had a terrific rally. And that started last month, as you know, or we've been enjoying a terrific rally. I shouldn't use the past tense because we've had very little in the way of downward dynamics. We do have a short-term overbought condition, but more important than that, the rally, which even in the somewhat depressed range-bound markets of the West, the rally started above the July reaction low, so it's put in a higher low, and we've seen equity indices push quickly back up to the higher side of previous rallies, and in some instances extend those gains. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we have yet to see anything in the way of downward dynamics to check these rallies, to check the overall momentum. And I'm wondering if we may pause and see a brief consolidation here, but without the precipitous slide back down to the bottom of the range that we have tended to see on three occasions over the last few months. In other words, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see a quite tight, narrow consolidation of these recent gains before stock markets move higher. Well, why might stock markets move higher? For many of the reasons that I've been mentioning on an almost daily basis overall, monetary conditions remain favorable, particularly in the West. That is ensuring that in the stronger growth economies, India, for instance, which raised interest rates another a quarter of a percentage point here today. But we still have negative real interest rates in India, and the ultra low interest rates that we see in Europe and the USA are preventing these Asian countries and these stronger growth economies around the world generally from raising short-term interest rates as quickly as they would otherwise do so. And a key reason for that is that they are a little bit concerned about the U.S. economy. They don't want to overdo it. But another factor, and probably the more important factor, is that they don't want their currencies pushed up too much. And that's already happened, for instance, with the Australian dollar earlier today, moving up to a new high for the year against the greenback. So we have these favorable monetary conditions for stock markets, and that is also now occurring against a background of some quite sharp rises over the last, really the last 3 weeks in long-dated government bond yields. In other words, the futures prices have come down quite sharply in moves that are out of character with the medium-term trend that we had seen over the previous few months. My own view is that we have seen the bottom for long-dated government bond yields. I saw that last month in terms of this overall reaction. Although for a number of these markets, we had a lower yield, somewhat lower yield, back in around August of 2008. So we've seen yields slide back down over the last few months, and with a few exceptions, encounter support above those lows for yields that we saw during the extreme panic of 2008. I think the one exception there was the with the bunds. Bund yields fell below their 2008 levels because of the concern over sovereign debt in the southern European countries. But the really important point is that the move upwards in yields that we've seen over the last 3 weeks and a bit is out of character, as I said, with the decline, the medium-term decline in yields that we were seeing. I think it's probably very important. I have mentioned previously on a number of occasions that if there was any bubble around in the world today, it was the bubble in long-dated government bonds. And I think investors were overexposed to the sector. They were attracted by a momentum move and all the talk of deflation and depression and double dip recession. And the chances are we'll see the US economy avoid the double dip recession. It's something that I've forecast. One of the main reasons for that is because the strength of the global economy elsewhere, and or the strength of so many economies elsewhere, which has helped US export earnings. And therefore, the premise on which people were buying bonds is now being viewed as an overshoot, because we do not have this double dip recession in the USA in all probability. And I note Warren Buffett's comments on that. He certainly doesn't think it's going to happen, and even Nouriel Roubini, Dr. Doom, is now saying that there's a 60% chance that the US will avoid the double dip recession. And what about all those deflationary pressures? Well, there are also some good reasons for feeling that while there has been plenty of disinflation in the US economy, and while there are indeed some deflationary pockets, that the seeds for a longer-term inflationary cycle have already been sown. And indeed, that's what the Federal Reserve has been trying to achieve If given the choice between inflation and deflation, they would much rather see the inflation, which they feel they can rein in. The challenge of coping with a Japanese-style deflation is considerably more difficult. Or that's certainly the current thinking. So I think the Fed's been reasonably successful in that effort. I'm not saying that they've been reasonably successful in creating a sustainable economic recovery. That's a different matter. And what I am on record as saying, though, is that repeating what other analysts before me have shown us, that over the last 100 years, if you look at the whole history of credit crises, recessions called by credit problems, that it's usually taken on average 5 to 7 years for economies to recover from that background. So I think the outlook for the U.S. economy remains one of a very slow, faltering recovery for quite some time. Corporations are doing better, of course, which is why we do like equities in the U.S. and Europe, which are leveraged to the global economy, and in other words, exporting into the Asian regions, not least where, not least in terms of Asian consumers. And those have been outperforming recently, and a number of studies have appeared in the press in recent weeks, which we have commented on, posted several of these, pointing out that equities, while not cheap in the USA on historic valuations basis, are very cheap relative to long-dated government bonds. And in the past, when that's been the case, we've usually had quite a significant recovery in equities and quite a deterioration in the global bond markets. So I think we're in the early stages of a bear market in terms of long-dated government bonds. Now, that's a hunch, because we won't know it for certain until it's obvious to everyone that we're in a bear market cycle. In other words, when yields are considerably higher. But the technical action, the extremes of sentiment that we've seen over the last few months, all make me feel that this is probably the beginning of a bond bear market. What I can say technically, quite emphatically, is and repeat the point that I made earlier in this broadcast, that the steep downtrends in yields over the last few months have been broken, and the steep uptrends, therefore, in bond futures prices have also been broken. So I think the best strategy in these long-dated government bonds is to stand aside or run short positions. And in terms of equities, I don't think we're likely to see another sharp downward move. We may get some ranging activity, as I also mentioned earlier in this broadcast, in a consolidation of recent gains. But I think the strength of fuller money themes in particular, such as India, the ASEAN market sector, the resources markets of Central and South America, all suggest that global stock markets are likely to have a reasonably good performance in the fourth quarter of this year, in addition to the gains that we have already seen, causing more stock markets to move back to the positive side for the year to date. In terms of commodities, I think, again, industrial metals are likely to remain steady. Tin's been the leader in recent months, actually pipping copper in terms of its overall strength, but all the metal patterns look as if they could move somewhat higher. The agricultural sector has also been quite strong. And if I have one significant worry over the medium term, it is concerning food price inflation. And the large base formations that we see for corn, wheat, soybeans, and oats, and the break in the prior downtrend for rice, all these are posted, of course, quite frequently in Comment of the Day and are available to you at any time in the Char Library. The base formations that I mentioned show the potential for significant upside moves, and we know that we've had some very turbulent weather in a number of the producing regions around the world, and this has caused concern over crop shortages. And I think this is the next problem. It's not a problem yet today, but if we get prices spiking upwards as we saw back in 2008, we last saw in 2008, that would, I think, certainly be regarded as an inflationary wake-up call by central banks. It would cause them to push up interest rates more quickly than they might otherwise do so, and it would become a headwind for global stock markets. But at this particular time, the worst we can say about global stock markets in the short term is that they are a little bit overbought following the very good rally, but that very good rally has underlined that the months of sideways trading that we've seen is more of a mean reversion support building process than top formation development. And on that note, I wish you all the best.